Okay. As we get into the Word, let's pray. And just God. Father, we thank you for your Word this morning. God, we thank you as we just come into your presence, God, that we can come with a joy in our hearts, Lord, as we've just so amazingly celebrated you together this morning, Lord. And we do want to continue to do that now, Father. We thank you for your Word. We celebrate your Word alive in our lives, God. Your Word at work in and through us, Lord. Your kingdom established in and through us, God. And this morning we humbly come and submit ourselves to your Word. We humbly come and we ask that you'd make it alive in us, God. Even that you'd come as the shepherd, Lord. As a true shepherd, Lord, you'd come and shepherd us this morning. If you'd come and feed us good, this like fresh bread, even like from the Word, Father. That your Word is alive, and it's like that fresh bread that we break open, and that the aroma just fills the room, Lord. We just thank you for that freshness of your Word this morning, that is applicable to every one of our lives, God. And we receive it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are we going to start with Psalm 23? I'll take it from there. Read with me from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whenever I read this, this has got nothing to do with the sermon. I think of a friend of mine somebody that I know. He's into making films. He's actually very good at what he does. He's in America at the moment. But he's got a vision to make a film, a movie, an epic kind of three. He wants to do it in a trilogy about the life of David. And you know what? It's one of those times when you hear somebody share vision and you hear something that God has laid on their heart. You just kind of think, wow, that's a really a God idea. But in any case, it's his idea was to use this Psalm 23 as the trailer. And actually, such a cool, to show David as he goes, to the different scenes. But, having this in the background, because, this kind of depicts is such the relationship he had with God. In any case, so every time I read this, I think of that as well. But this morning, this is a very well-known scripture. But I wanted to look at a few points here, and in terms of where we are at as a body and where God is taking us. Firstly, this morning, what a joy to know that we have a shepherd. Okay. Sometimes I don't know if it's a compliment if God refers to us as sheep. We did have some sheep growing up. We had some on our small holding, and they are not the most intelligent of beings I have found. So I don't know, but this focus is more on the shepherd. So let's just focus on the shepherd this morning. let's see what is this. What are the promises that come through here? What is it that the shepherd provides? If we look at this, firstly we see the shepherd provides. Well, there's provision. Okay, he says here, I shall not want. Okay, so we see. There's provision. There's provision in every way that we can imagine. The shepherd provides for us. We see something else there. He says there, you restore. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and it also speaks of provision, but it all kind of rest. But then he goes on. He says he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. So there's quite a lot of different kinds of provision we see here, and then we see also a restoration that he brings. Okay, I'm just skipping over this now. It'll make more sense in a moment. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And then he leads me. So we see he leads me quite a bit here. Okay, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside all this. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So there's direction, there's leading, there's guidance happening for his name's sake. And then he says, and then we come to the place, even though we face the danger, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Okay, so there's incredible protection. There's an incredible safety in the protection that the shepherd provides. And then we see him mentioning here, along with the protection, there's also correction. So there's a rod and a staff. The one is kind of to help and to protect and to direct, and the other one is kind of more as a for defense and for so there's a and yeah and the correction one is to keep you on the right track, and the other one is to defend. So they both of those are present there. And the incredible thing is it comes from the same shepherd. And whether it be the loving hand that says, no, don't go there, go this way, or the one that corrects, as we mentioned last week, he corrects those he loves. The Father corrects and he disciplines those he loves. Okay? And then we see a celebration. He celebrates our victories. He celebrates us as people. He celebrates in the presence of enemies, and then we see an overcoming, as we saw the last 2 weeks or so, an overcoming, a celebration of that, the power of God at work in our lives, and to a place where we are more than overcomers. And then the ends off with, I will dwell in the Lord, in the house of the Lord, forever. So okay, now we've seen quite a bit here, we can go into a lot of detail on these things. But I want to look at specifically at the context. Now, this is the promise of the shepherd, and this is what we have experienced in different ways in our lives. But in general, in the design that God has for us, where, in what context does the shepherd provide this amazing package deal, if you could say it like that? Because what we do see in Scripture, that when the Lord puts these promises out there, now, if you look at yourself as one of the sheep, or if we look at this powerful picture of the shepherd and the sheep, do you agree that all these benefits and all these incredible promises are very much relevant, but they also depend on where the sheep positions himself or herself? Okay, so where do we experience these things? How has God designed it so that we can receive these from Him? And if we think about it, even before we come to know God, the provision that God has made for us as people to experience Him is in family, in our physical family. Okay, God has designed the father and the mother and the nuclear family, the unity between father and mother, husband and wife, to represent Him and His heart and His relationship with the body, etc. But that provision, that family unit is there so that we can experience this that God has provided in that safe environment. Okay, now we know that where we're at now, in terms of we look in general, the enemy has to a large extent managed to do a lot of damage in the area of family, if you can say that. And there's still a big onslaught happening now, again, with the whole marriage chaos that's happening, definition of marriage, etc. But that is God's design. Okay, it's important when we ever we look at these things to go back to God's design, and whose idea was marriage in the first place. Okay, not going into detail over that now. But then in the second part we see is in a spiritual sense, and obviously you cannot separate these two, that once we are born again and we come into a relationship with God, we experience the shepherd in the context of the local sheepfold, which is the local body, the local church. Okay? Are you with me? So we experience the physical family, but once we are alive spiritually, now those two are together. So in the physical family and the spiritual family, we experience the manifestation of the heart of the shepherd. And you know, it's important to see that we cannot separate that. That it is God's design for us. Yes, we're going to read later on about the chief shepherd. Okay, so Jesus is the chief shepherd. Praise God. You know, He's in charge. He's the head of the body. But He has appointed other shepherds as well. And many of us here are in a role of a shepherd in a certain way, in a different way. In your house, in your, as a parent, as a leader in different areas of life, in whatever, in different ministries we have in church. Many of us have opportunities to act as shepherds. Okay, and a very powerful thing Pastor Sia shared with me once, which will stay with me forever, is that, you know, Sia's, he's a, nobody's confused about the fact that he's an evangelist. Okay, he's very passionate about evangelism, and he's also one of those guys that, you know, it's difficult to just have a, it's not difficult, but it doesn't, a small talk doesn't stay a small talk very long. It always goes back to, you know, what God is doing and what you know, the souls that are coming in, etc. I'm giving you the context because what he said was powerful coming from him. He said that whether you are, know in your heart you're called to be a mighty prophet of God to the nations, and you're going to be decreeing stuff over nations at a time, and God's going to confirm His word through, you know, snowstorms and earthquakes or whatever. Whether you know that in your heart, or whether you're called to be a massive evangelist, whatever fivefold ministry gift you feel you have a calling in, or even operate in on a daily basis, on a daily kind of day-to-day level, whichever one of those you feel gifted in, all of us, all of those require a heart for the sheep and a heart of a shepherd, because that's the context in which God gives us the gifts, is the love of God. And even if we look at Paul writing about the gifts, when he writes to the Corinthian church, he makes the introduction, he says these are the gifts, the spiritual gifts in specifically, the gifts of the Spirit. Then he interrupts himself and he spends a whole chapter on explaining the context. He says, "Listen, these are amazing, but if you do not operate in them in the context of love for the people of God, then they are useless." Okay, so he very powerfully explains the gifts, context, the motivation behind it is love, and then he goes on and also explains the context of the body. And how we operate together, and we can't do this thing on our own. So we see this very powerful interaction here, and we see that God has designed for us to experience Him as a shepherd and as a father in the context of the body, the church, in the context of family, spiritual and physical family, those two together. And this morning, I wanted to encourage us that once we understand this and we kind of get to grips with, okay, I have the chief shepherd, but the chief shepherd operates through other shepherds, okay? And as the sooner you and I get that, we're going to be able to receive more from the chief shepherd, if you understand what I mean. Also, the sooner you and I understand, okay, the chief shepherd is requiring of me to also play a role in shepherding. And that role might change. But sure as anything, whatever you do in the body, in the kingdom, is going to require some kind of shepherding. It's good news, I promise. So this morning, firstly, I want to say that God wants to instill in us a confidence in the shepherd. Confidence that stems from us having confidence in the chief shepherd. Okay? And that He is faithful to provide all these incredible things that He promises. He is faithful to be our provider. He is faithful to restore us. He is faithful to lead us and to guide us, to direct our path. He is the one that protects us. He is the one that corrects us. But he chooses to do it through, yes, through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but also through the context of a local body and through us shepherding and kind of keeping each other, caring for each other as well. You know, Yanko always asks this question. He says that beautiful picture of the shepherd running after the one sheep. You know the story, there's 100 and the one goes missing, and then it says the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes and he searches for that one. And that you always think, you know, you see artists over the decades and thousands of years have depicted this in different ways. And I remember seeing one or two, you know, the sheep is down a little bit of a cliff or in a ditch or this, and the shepherd is kind of doing, you know, putting his life at risk to get all of the sheep. You've all know what I'm talking about. Amazing, and we kind of get the heart of the shepherd there. But what happens to the 99? This is the question always asked. What happens to the 99 when that shepherd is running after that one? Anybody? The cool thing is that if this principle is operating in that sheepfold, then the 99 will look after themselves. Look after each other, if you want to rather say it like that. Not after themselves. So they will be looking out for one another. They are, you know, they are able to kind of operate in that blessing because they are also understanding, listen, I need to watch out for the one next to me. While if it happens to be the case that the shepherd is running after the one. But that's a powerful principle that even in that, you know, in the 99, we need to be looking after one another. We need to be looking out for one another. So firstly, the confidence in the shepherd. And now I'm going to mention the two contexts again, but like I said, they are one, and kind of you cannot separate them. Firstly, the physical family, a confidence that the physical family that God puts us in, He, as the chief shepherd, has put everything that we need to emulate Him and to kind of follow that example. As parents or brothers and sisters or whatever, in a nuclear family situation, He's made provision for that. Have you watched the movie Courageous this weekend? I don't often do this, but I can recommend it. I've actually once or twice mentioned films in sermons and they've had bad repercussions. In any case, so this one I can boldly say, You can get. It's not on circuit. It's you can see it on DVD. I actually bought a copy for the church. So if you want to watch it in small group or use it for an outreach or whatever, you're welcome to do that. But it's about this. It's about this thing of fathering, okay? And very powerful. You know how it depicts different fathers from different backgrounds and how they're kind of relating to being a father, etc. But what I want to put in front of us this morning is that the chief shepherd has laid down his life so that you and I can operate in that anointing in our nuclear family. I want to say to dads this morning, I know it's not always easy. I know it's not something that we often, you know, it's not something we feel equipped for. I know most of us are completely ignorant when we come into fatherhood or parenthood for that matter. The ladies the same. But I think the dads are even more, much more ignorant. It's one of those things, you know, you study for many years, you go to school, you prepare for working life. But when it comes to parenting, we'll just wing it. we'll take it as it comes, type of thing. And in any case, but because we have a relationship with the Father and the chief shepherd, we know and have a confidence that He has anointed us as parents. He has anointed us, as whether you're a parent or a child or a brother or a sister, as I'm sure everybody is one of those, that He has anointed us to operate in that shepherd anointing in the nuclear family. In other words, dads, to be a provider. You can trust in God that He has anointed you to be the provider. To to stand in that role. And it's not something that, you know, you can say, okay, you know, it's often we look to the skill that God has given us, we look to all these things. Obviously, you know, they're all part of the picture. But when it comes down to it, the one we trust in is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and his ability to, you know, to manifest that in through us as being the provider and the family. Are you with me this morning? So I want to say to you, you know, if you know, many times dads struggle with this, and there's stress, and there's, you know, we turn grey and lose hair and stuff. It's not only that, but I often find it's a blessing to be taller than most people, but then when you bend over, they notice there's some problems happening here at the back. But any case, you know, we want to rely on our own strength. We want to go into, yes, I must fix it, especially as men. We want to fix it. We want to do something. You know, we struggle with this thing of you know, as Johnny was saying, waiting patiently and quietly. It's difficult for us. But I want to say this morning that the chief shepherd has anointed you and I to step into that anointing and to walk into it. Whether you have children or not, whether you have a husband, whether you're going to be a husband one day, the Father, the chief shepherd has anointed you, and you can have a confidence in that. In the same way, in terms of protection, to stand in the gap for our families as parents, to step into that place of intercessor, just, you know, to in prayer and in spiritual warfare, you know, in just in the basics, we have been anointed. And we do not look to ourselves, we look to the chief shepherd. We look to the one that has led the way. Okay? And so I love it when Paul writes, "Follow me as I follow Christ." The boldness that because he is following Jesus, whoever is following him is going to be okay. And dads and parents this morning, if you want to put your confidence in something, put it in the one that you are following. So that you can confidently, and follow him in the way that you can confidently tell your children or whoever you're discipling, say, you can follow me because I'm following Jesus. Are you with me this morning? But if we're not confident in that, if we don't put our confidence in the one that is leading us and the one that we are following, it's going to be difficult for us to say, no, come behind me, this is going to be okay. Yet we find that happening in any case. And then in the second instance, our confidence in the chief shepherd to put us in a spiritual family where we'll experience these same things. Provision, restoration, guidance, protection, correction. That one isn't always so welcome, I suppose. But the amazing thing is they are a package. But for us to have the confidence that because the chief shepherd is who he says he is, and because he has laid down his life, we can confidently know that he has made provision for us in this sheepfold to walk in an abundance of life in these areas. Now again, whether you are a small group facilitator or whether you in a worship team or whatever your bit of ministry is, and I want to encourage us, if you are yet to, if you new or you whatever, you know, you kind of finding your place still, I want to encourage you to trust God to find that place where he has called you to minister, to find that place where he has called you to exercise your gift and you know to bless the body. I know Suzette is busy putting together set-up teams for hosting and that type of thing. So if that's on your heart, don't wait for her to call you. Okay? Call her. Say, listen, this is my thing. I'm practically minded. I can do this. I've done it before. I want to bless. I want to do my bit. Okay? But the season we're going into is going to be very important for the 99, if you want to call it that, to be equipped to look out for one another, to be involved in what's happening. Okay, that's very cool on that side. So for us as the 90, you know, each of us being part of the sheepfold, having a confidence in the chief shepherd, having a confidence in in the local sheepfold because of our confidence in the chief shepherd and knowing that he provides the safety, he provides the protection, he provides the safe environment in which we can prosper. But each of us have a role to fulfill. Are you with me, Storm? Okay. And then I skip this every time, but this, you know, part of the package again is that celebration of individuals, that celebration of victory and of overcoming. It's part of the picture. Now, why is it necessary to have all this protection, and why is it necessary for the shepherd to have a rod and a staff and to fight? Kind of, why is it necessary for the shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep, as we see an example of our chief shepherd, Jesus Christ? I'm just going to, let's look at 1 Peter 5. By the way, if I don't mention the translation, I normally use the New King James translation. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So if we look again at the sheep picture, there's real danger out there for the sheep. There's a real enemy. There's an adversary, the devil, who seeks whom he may devour. Guys, I've experienced this firsthand. You know, when you, I remember being, you know, full of faith, full of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, born again, all that stuff. And there was a season where I was kind of in between churches. You know how it goes. And I really experienced this. I experienced for a season, obviously there's grace when we move. I came over from South Africa and I was working in London. Obviously, there's grace for us to you know, see God about where we should be and which sheepfold should we be. But I think I was taking a bit long, so you know, the grace was wearing thin. But I really experienced that because I wasn't under the covering of a local shepherd, if you can call it that, I really started to experience a position that I couldn't handle. And I experienced... spiritually, I understood this principle very well afterwards. I want to throw it out there that you and I have not been designed to be a sheep on a Lone Ranger sheep. Have you ever seen a sheep doing its thing there out in the wild on its own? Suppose, yeah. Well, you see lots of sheep here in England. I mean... But yeah, I haven't seen a Lone Ranger sheep. And in the same way, we haven't been designed to go off on our own tangent and do our own thing. We've been designed to operate in a body context. But the sobering thing is here, not only that God's design, but the reality of the adversary, the reality of the enemy, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I've seen it again this week. Guys, this is not something we want to play games with. When we step out and we kind of go on the fringe of the sheepfold and we kind of fiddling around with the wolves and the lions on the side there, you're gonna get hurt. And I tell you, it's one of those where it's, yeah, sometimes we kind of play. We play, you know, at when you don't know what you're doing, you play with the lion, you play with the wolf. You think, no, I can handle this. I'm in control. And when you look again, you've lost a limb. I remember going to a place where they had little lion cubs, and you could play with them, and touch them, and it was amazing. You know, it's like one of those wow moments. And but those things have the sharpest teeth. Eh? But they were still okay because they were very small. Okay, but now the problem was next door they had tigers that were 18 months old. And they were like so playful. It looked like such a lot of fun in there, you know. But nobody was allowed in there because they could take off your hand. No problem. And they'll do it playing. They won't be angry. But just the thing, we think we can handle it. We can, this is a nice wolfie. And you look again, you're limping back to the fold, hopefully, with one leg short. A friend of mine, you must have seen it in the news, almost lost his leg in a shark attack this week. It was one or two local newspapers. His name is Jock. It's just a miracle. The shark took him by the leg and shook him like a rag doll. and then it let him go, and it was circling around him and coming in for the next round. And then this massive wave just came out of nowhere and just lifted him. And he was able to paddle out to shore. He was surfing. I sometimes doubt whether that is a godly stack. But yeah, hallelujah, how's that for a miracle? Seriously, he almost lost his leg, and I reckon if that shark came in the second round, it might have been tickets. But any case, but the reality is there is a adversary circling around looking for us to step out of the safety that God has for us. And God, be afraid, be very afraid sermon. This is not a, shock and awe and turn a burn thing. This is just knowing, lovingly saying, guys, the reality is that because we are following Christ and because we are pursuing His kingdom, we cannot afford to step out of the safety that He has provided for us. Are you with me this morning? And we cannot afford not to look out for one another. And sometimes that's going to mean saying something to somebody that you love that's not comfortable. Sometimes it's going to mean sitting down and saying, listen, I love you, but there, that where you're going there now, we need to talk about it because I think you're going to get hurt. Okay, we're going to chat some more about this in the weeks to come. Be vigilant, be sober, it's real. Okay? We don't have to be afraid if we're where God has put us. Okay, then no fear. Seriously. That's one thing you can be confident in. When you're in the fold, when you're in the family, the provision is there. The cover is there. It's the safest place you can be. And it's not. I'm not saying the most comfortable place. I'm not saying it's always beautiful and it's always sunshine and roses. But that is the safest place. Don't be deceived. Don't think because it looks more comfortable that side, it's going to be safe there. Okay. Are you with me? Great. So the shepherd has implemented some access control. Okay. You know what access control means. These days, it's high tech. I mean, security. Some places you have to... I thought this is something just happens in the movies, but some places you literally have to look into the thing and the retina thing and the thumbprint and... You guys will know all about that. So, the shepherd cares for the sheep, so he has implemented some access control. John 10, let's read from 1 to 5 there. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So, let's look at the access control that is in place here. Okay. Now, I don't know if you've heard in the news, but the Olympics, apparently there's some issues with the security, and the security company has dropped the ball, and they're struggling to get organized. It's quite embarrassing, because they're quite a massive company, a global company. I don't know all the detail, but I just know they're calling in the army and the troops are going to have to fill the gaps, which is, I suppose, fine. But since all the stuff happening with terrorist attacks and stuff, I suppose we've become used to taking access control, serious access control, kind of as part of life. When you go through Gatwick or when you go through an airport, You know, taking off your shoes and your belt and kind of holding your... you're going there and you... It's kind of, you just, it's not comfortable, but everybody kind of, whatever. It's one of those things, you just, it's just one of those things. It's not nice. But nobody makes a big scene. Because we just know, it's actually for our safety. Are you with me? Or am I wrong? Do you guys make a scene? But we know it's not going to help. They're just not going to let you on the flight. Okay, it's kind of, so you just do what you need to do. So when we go to the Olympics, people will search your bag and will do all these things, and nobody will complain because they know it's just one of those things and we have to kind of just deal with it. But it's funny that when it's spiritually, you know, God has put in these checks and he's put in some access control, sometimes we get a bit, we get a bit funny around it. And it's the same as we mentioned last week when we talked about the queen. When you go to the queen, there will be access control, I can guarantee you that, okay? There will be a protocol. How you go about it, which door, which entrance, which waiting room, there will be protocol for sure. Okay? And God has also implemented this protocol. And in the military, I remember there was a time where we had to, even in the Air Force, where this is not our main function, we had to stand guard. Okay, so I remember I was the officer on duty, so that was my job to look after the base. Which is a bit scary if you think about it. You'd be kind of young. How old was I? 20, 21? In any case, I remember a story my dad told us. When you, like this officer on duty, and what they have is they have guys that go and check up on the guards. So that's kind of random visits. You go and look around. You just check if everybody's on their spot. They have a specific name for that guy. But my dad had to do it from time to time. But this one guy that was on this kind of checking up on the guys. And the thing is, it's normally a guy from a different unit. So you don't know. You don't recognize him. So he came and he thought he's going to be clever. He's going to catch them out. So he was climbing over the fence of this one base. But the troop was on duty and he was sharp and he was ready. So he caught him at the top when he was on the top of the fence. Luckily it wasn't electric, obviously electric. And I think it was raining. And what he said is he said to him, listen, you freeze now or I'll shoot you type of thing. And then he asked for identification, and the guy didn't have any. So he let him sit there the whole night. He didn't have any identification. He didn't know the guy, so he had him there. I think he was in the dry, but the guy was on the fence the whole night until somebody could come and identify him. In any case, he won't do that again. But the point is, we know about these things. There's a certain protocol when you go into certain areas, and it's like at a military base. Normally, there's one main entrance, and this is the one you must use. And there was a specific protocol when you come in there, because if you come over the fence, it's not going to be nice. Anybody that comes in a different way than is where the protocol says, we regard with suspicion. Are you with me? And it's the same that happens in the kingdom. And you'll see, you know, when you look at a family context, the same thing applies. And Dad, this is also beautifully illustrated in the movie, that, you know, for instance, when Abigail, as you know, she's turning one at the end of the month, but when Abigail gets to a point where, and she's already very beautiful, so I'm already preparing, I realize I need to stay fit, I'm considering doing a one of those courses. No, no, just kidding. But you know, I realize that there's going to be a time when there's going to be young men that are going to be interested in my daughter. And you guys, you know what? There's going to be protocol in my house. If the young man doesn't respect this protocol, if the young man doesn't respect my role in my daughter's life in terms of protecting her heart and her, you know, everything, he's going to stay very far away. I remember when I went to see Adna's dad, Now, Aaron, I had one or two, you know, high school boyfriends before I came along, while we were students. But I think he was surprised, because I came, I don't think it's happened before, because I sat down with him and I explained to him why I wanted to spend time with his daughter. And I said to him, listen, this is why I want to get to know her, and I'm not, you know, I explained my intentions. And you know what, although he didn't expect this, and although I think he might have been a little bit surprised, he respected that very much. And you know, I didn't have any problems from there on. But this principle remains, whether it's spiritual or in your home, you as the father need to say this is off limits to the devil. In a spiritual sense and also in a physical sense. So when those young men come, there will be some protocol. And you know what, I will not even consider Abigail going out with anybody who stands in the front door just pushing the hooter. No, you know, he needs to come and chat to me. Then we can talk about it, and then we'll see what we can do. But the point is here, there's a protocol that happens, there's a place, and there's a shepherd in the local fold, it's the same thing. Whether it is in your small group context, when it is in your family context, there's a place where you wield authority in the spirit over your home, as a parent, as a father specifically. And where you kind of draw the line for the enemy, you say, enemy, you know what? That's why we anoint our homes. That's why we pray together. That's why we consecrate that space. And we say, this is my space. God has given it to me. And I will protect it in the spirit. Not in my own strength, in the authority that God has given me. But you guys understand that in the same way in the spirit, we need to watch out for one another. And there's a safe place that God has for us here. When we talk about protocol, we don't have much of it in church. But when it comes up now and again, just respect it. We have what we call the spiritual growth series. Some, you know, when I did them for the first time, I wasn't newly saved. I was saved for a while. I was already born again. I was already spirit-filled. I had been baptized in water. So some of those principles weren't new to me. But that was the door. That's part of how you come into the family. And we're not so tense about it anymore, but that is part of the door if you want to become part of the, if you want to be a leader, definitely, in the fold. We're in a, you know, that's part of the door. So now and again, there's going to be instances where the shepherd or the dad in the family is going to say, listen, this is how it's going to happen. This is how we're going to do it. And the amazing thing again is when we see it in the context of the chief shepherd and the protection and the love and the covering that is there, then suddenly it makes a sense, although it's not always comfortable. Are you with me this morning? You know, although the gentleman, young man wants to visit Abigail, wants to maybe climb through the window because it's awkward to first chat to the parents for half an hour, he must know he cannot come in through the window. It's going to come second, okay? In the same way, where there will be a specific, you know, even when stuff like this, different influences, you know, if I see Abigail's influenced by something, it's difficult to see this now because she's only one, almost. But you know, then the dad sometimes has to step in and say, "No, that's bad. That's bad influence. And because you're under my authority, I will remove that influence out of your life." Okay. And in the same way, I believe God is calling us into a season where we can look out for one another in the same way. We can say, Alistair, those TV series you watch, those Desperate Housewives things that you watch so religiously, I believe that some of that's got a bad influence. And then I can sit down with Alistair, we laugh about it now, just a joke, Ali, I don't know what you watch. But we can sit down and we can chat and say, no, actually, you know, it is a bad influence or whatever, you know. But the thing is that I love him enough to say, to talk about it. Let's talk about it. But the thing is, the society we live in doesn't like that. Accountability doesn't like it. Who are you to tell me what I can watch or not watch? Who are you to say, I should watch this, or I should, you know. This is, the society we're in is very much about my right and my freedom of everything, and, you know, my own right that I can kill myself if I want to, you know, whatever, this is my choice. But in a family, in a loving family where the chief shepherd is in charge, it doesn't work like that. Are you with me this morning? So are we going to talk a bit more, like I said, in the weeks to come? But I want you guys to let's trust together that we understand where God is at, and where He's taking us into a place where, because we are pursuing His kingdom, because we have an adversary out there, we're going to have to be sober about this. And we're going to have to trust the chief shepherd mostly and firstly about the safe place that He has provided for us. Okay. Then very importantly, that ends there, about the voice of the shepherd. And now, I don't have time to go into that, but that is the key. That is the key here. That we know the voice of the shepherd. And God, as every one of us, if you have a relationship with God, don't let the enemy tell you you can't hear His voice. Okay? Every one of us can hear His voice. And He talks to us. If you don't hear it, then it's like a reception on your mobile phone. If you don't have reception, you need to move until you have a reception. Does that make sense? So if you're not hearing the voice of the shepherd, you're too far. Okay? Simples. Oh, those meerkats. If you need to have more reception, move closer to this mobile phone tower thingy. Okay? If you can't hear the voice of the shepherd, you need to move closer to the shepherd. Okay, I can go on for long about that. But that is a key. Because when we know the voice and we recognize the voice, we will not run after strangers. We will not run after this thing and this guy and this guy. We will say, oh, that's not the shepherd. I'm still going this direction. Okay, let's read from Hebrews chapter 13, 7-9. And 17. I'm just going to briefly touch on this. I don't have a lot of time. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Obey those who rule over you, verse 17, and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. I love that last bit there. You know how God sometimes says, you resist the proud, and some translation says, you will go to war against the proud. But what this is kind of quite strong, but this one is quite subtle. For that will be unprofitable for you. But I'm not going to go on too much. It's very, you know, kind of self-explanatory. But each of us have got people that have been put over us, shepherds and leaders that have been put, whether it's in a social context, whether it's in a spiritual or a family context, we have authority over us. And many of us also have people that are in authority, or we are in authority over, okay? And there are a few points here. Firstly, that we act in a certain way to those that are in authority over us. Okay? Remember them. And then the cool thing is, it shows the context. Firstly, yes, we look at the fruit of the people. We look at their lives. We live with them. It's not a far-off relationship. It's a close family relationship. Okay? And then the context here, again, is Jesus is the same. The chief shepherd stays the same. So don't panic. Don't be dismayed. As long as we're all following the chief shepherd, things are going to be okay. All right? He doesn't change. And then that thing of don't be carried away. Don't follow that shepherd or that stranger and this stranger that comes in through the door, through the window. Don't run after those things. Stick with the voice of the shepherd. Okay? Don't be carried about with various and strange doctrines. You can read the rest of that chapter. It's actually very insightful. And then again, obey them. Be submissive. For they watch out for their soul. So that goes both ways here, okay? This is not a, okay, now I'm the small group facilitator, now you must listen to me. It's not like that. We will have to give an account, whether it be for your family or your children or for those that God has entrusted for us to disciple. We will give an account. But let them do it with joy, okay? So don't give them grief, okay? You should read this to your children, okay? Let your parents do it with joy, not with grief. For that will be unprofitable. Okay, like I said, I won't go into detail. I will mention it again a bit later. And then I'm going to close with Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is faithful to complete His work in and through us. He is the faithful shepherd of the sheep. He is the great shepherd. He is the one that we look to when things are shaken, when things are uncomfortable, when things are changing. We look to Him because we know He doesn't change. He is the safe one. Okay, He is the one that provides us safety. He is the one that has our perfect provision ready. Okay? And it's in Him that we trust, and it's in Him, looking to Him, that we can look out for one another. It's looking to Him that we can walk in the provision that He has made for us as a body, in the protection that He has prepared for us as a body. And at the same time, walk with boldness in the mandate that He has given us as a body. Okay? And He is faithful to complete it, to make us complete in every good work, okay? That is pleasing for Him, that is for His purpose, that is for His glory. It is for not our own kingdom, not our own plan or ambition. If you stand with me this morning, we're just going to pray. Now, I want to pray for one or two things. Well, before I do that, this good work that He is completing in us, again, guys, understand that the context, the place that He has prepared for us is the key. The family, spiritually and physically, that place where the provision is made. The safe place. Stick to that place. Stick to His order. Sometimes it's going to be challenging. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. But look to the chief shepherd. Okay? He will show. Whether if you know friends that are struggling to find a body or find a local church, encourage them. Look to the chief shepherd. He will show you where you need to be. And He will make perfect provision for you in that place. And therefore, it's not necessary for you to run to the next door shepherd and that other one and that other there and the shepherd that's on the TV. Okay. That's all cool, okay? Not all of them, but I mean, you get some good input, but you cannot shepherd a bunch of sheep over the television. You agree with me? Having had some experience with sheep, I can guarantee you it's not going to work. Okay, nobody got that one. Okay, but so yeah, this is a good picture that God gives us. Okay, you cannot do this remotely. You cannot shepherd somebody from America over satellite. Okay. And unless there's obviously a relationship. And there's some way you can. So that's why a lot of the guys that hold me accountable are in South Africa. Some local. But there's relationship. Okay. It's not a one-way thing that the guy in America doesn't even know you exist, but you know, that's what I mean. There's a relationship there. Okay, then I want to ask this morning, if you are here this morning with us and you have not entered through the door, Jesus says, I am the door. No one can come to the Father except through me. No one can enter the sheepfold. No one can enter into the eternal life that God has prepared for us. No one can enter into a relationship with the chief shepherd, the Father, the King of Kings, unless he comes through Jesus Christ. And that's my first question this morning, if everybody can just bow your heads. Have you entered through the door? Have you come to a place where you have accepted that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, and you've said, I know I'm a sinner and I need to have a relationship with Christ. I need to come through the door so that I can have be restored to the Father, so that I can have eternal life in relationship with the Father. If it's you this morning and you have not entered in, you have not taken a hold of that gift of salvation for which Christ laid down His life for you, then I want to say to you, His love and His provision for you this morning is perfect. To take that step and to step into a real live relationship with the real living God. He loves you just the way you are. He's made provision for you to come just the way you are. With all your shortcomings, with all our fears and our failures and everything, all the baggage, you can come to Him because He is the shepherd. And while everybody's eyes are closed, if that's you this morning and you need to step into that relationship with the Father, I would just like you to indicate with your hand, and we'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that this morning? Okay. And then secondly, if you have entered through the door and you have a relationship with the chief shepherd, but you've kind of been on the fringe a bit, or you've kind of been playing with the wolves on the side, or maybe been a bit, you know, kind of not always, you know, respected the protocol that the shepherd has in place, then I also want to just pray with you afterwards. And I would trust God just to make a shift in how you relate to the whichever shepherd is over you, from government to small group facilitator, whoever it may be. I'd love to pray with you afterwards. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are the chief shepherd, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you lay your life down for us, the sheep, God. Oh, God, and when we look to you, Father, and we realize how passionately you love us, God, and how passionately you love the lost out there, Father, how you as a shepherd literally lay down your life for the sheep, God, and we stand in awe of you this morning. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you for the confidence that we can have in the provision that you have made for us as a shepherd, Lord. The provision physically, emotionally, in every way, God. The protection that you have for us in covenant with in the blood of Christ. The caring and the nurturing and the comforting and the direction, the leading, the guidance. God, we look to you as our shepherd this morning. We thank you for the correction that you give us, Lord. Thank you that you love us enough, Lord, that you correct us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you celebrate with us the victories that you have in our lives, God, and the places where you bring us to that we can overcome. Father, this morning we thank you for each role that we also have as shepherds, Father, for where we can. I thank you for each of us to, Father, that you open our eyes, Lord, that we would look out for one another, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that, as your word says, that we would be sober and vigilant, Lord, that we would be aware of the reality of the danger when we step out of this protection, Father. And I thank you that we would care for one another enough and love one another enough, Lord, to watch out for each other in this area, God, in the name of Jesus. And oh, Father, we thank you for a boldness that you'd bring us to a place where we can say boldly, follow me as I follow Christ, Lord, as Paul writes. That we boldly follow you as the chief shepherd and know that our families and our people we are discipling can boldly follow us because we are following you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the confidence that is not in ourselves, God, but is in the grace that you have made available to us on the cross and the fullness of life that you have for us, God. And today, Lord, we say thank you for that, and we take a hold of it in the name of Jesus.